chapter 3. I did want to mention, great to see Sister Ann. Been a long time, and she has her grandson with her, and I forget his name.
Carmelo.
I don't know how I could forget that. And is he right there, or is he sleeping? There he is. Hey, give him a big wave. There we go. That's it. And good to have him here. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. I want to read one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And we're going to read down to verse number 17, if you would read with me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the work of the Word. The work of the Word. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Spirit that has been so active among us today. Lord, and I know you did wonderful things this morning. We expect that you will do great things this evening. I pray, Lord, in each one of our hearts that you will challenge us, that you will speak to us. Lord, and I pray that you will use me to communicate your Word effectively and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. And before you're seated, turn around, shake hands with a couple of people, and just tell them the Word works. This week we started in the process of getting the offices back in shape. We don't have any doors on them, but we have heat and lights and carpet. And so we got the desks back in, and then we moved in some bookcases into my office and got them set up. And they're largely empty right now. But when we were out in the storage cube looking for things, I came across the box that was marked Bibles. And so I have other boxes out there that are marked books, but when we packed up my old office, which if you'll remember used to be right there, when we packed it up, we had put my Bibles into a box and put them in the storage cube, or put some of them in the storage cube. So when I came across them in the cube, I brought them out and left all the other books and brought the box of Bibles out. And when we got the bookcases anchored in place so that we don't have any unfortunate accidents, I decided that the first thing that I was going to do before anything else was I was going to get my Bibles out of the box. And so I got the box and brought it into my office and put the Bibles on the center shelf, and some of you may have seen the picture online. And up to this point, the only books that are on my bookshelves, and they'll hold a lot of books, the only books that are there are those Bibles. I, this afternoon, took one off the shelf that I had used for devotional reading a few years back. It's called a Note Taker's Bible, and it has room in the margins that you can write your notes, and you can, if something inspires you, you can write in it. So I was thinking about this passage, and I was flipping through that Bible and coming across notes that I wrote probably 10 years ago. And things that had struck me at the time, as I was doing my Bible reading through the Bible and through the Scripture. And I was challenged again. And as I was preparing for this evening to bring you a very, very simple message. And that is that there is a work that the Word does within our lives. And you can rephrase it and say that the Word works. I don't think there's ever been a time in history and in the whole of mankind where it has been so accessible and so freely given to have the Bible. For many generations and for centuries, it was very difficult, if not impossible, for people to have Bibles. They were very expensive if they could find them. They were all copied by hand, and it was an arduous process. On top of that, most people were illiterate. They couldn't read. They didn't have the capacity to read. Along with that, the prominent church of the day taught that the ordinary person would be destroyed by reading and having the Bible themselves. Bibles were literally chained to the pulpit of churches. They would have the big Bible, and there would literally be a chain that would be attaching it so that no one could steal it. It could not be taken away from the pulpit. Bibles were kept in seminaries, and they were kept in palaces and in magnificent libraries, but nobody had them in their home. Nobody had the capacity, the capability to read it and to have it. It was for the rich and for the religious. There were men and women who went on a crusade, and they felt like it was important that every man and every woman be able to read the Bible. They'd had the privilege to be able to read it, and quite often it was in Latin or in Greek or in Hebrew, but they had had the privilege to read it, and they went about to translate it, and you would think that that would be something that would be applauded, that people would be excited, that the church would be excited that people are now going to be able to read the Bible and follow along. But instead, they began to persecute these people. They began to put them to death. Charles Tyndall was one, and there were others. John Wycliffe was burned at the stake because his mission in life was to have every person to have a Bible. You'd think that would be a noble cause, but he was put to death because of it, because it challenged the powers that be. Today, you can go to just about any bookstore and buy a Bible. You not only can go to a bookstore and buy a Bible, but you can get multiple translations of the Bible for free, whether it's on audio downloads or it's on your tablet or your phone or your computer. You can get downloads of Scripture, and you can get it in English and French and whatever language that you want, and you can do it completely free. Never has the Bible been as accessible to people as it is now. When I was a young person, I read a book by a man who called himself God Smuggler. He took upon himself to smuggle Bibles into the former Soviet Union, and where it was very difficult for Christians to get Bibles. They would take portions of the Bible and they would copy it by hand. They would use the Bibles that they had so much they would pass them around that they would become ragged with wear. They memorized them. They would listen to radio stations in the middle of the night that would broadcast the Bible because they were so hungry to hear the Word. And communism tried to stamp out Christianity. They said that because communism is so wonderful that Christianity is simply in the Bible and religion is the opiate of the masses and there's no need for it anymore. But they couldn't stop what the Word and the Spirit would do. And underground churches multiplied as they are now in China. You know, in China you can still be put in jail for being a Christian, and Christians are still persecuted in nations that are around the world. There are more martyrs now than there ever have been in any other years previously. Imagine that. And yet the Bible is so accessible to us. And yet, particularly in North America, where there's no real obstacle to getting a Bible. And we give them away. You can get it in whatever translation you want, whether you want the King James or you want the newest, most modern translation. It's being challenged in our culture. Our culture doesn't mind if you mention it as literature. They don't mind if you study the Psalms as some of the greatest examples of English literature that have ever been written or translated. As long as it's not authoritative. As long as it's not the Word of God. As long as it's not expected to impact anybody's life beyond the grandeur of the words. There are segments of the church world where it's being discounted or ignored. Where its teachings and commands are presented as quaint and as wildly out of date, as not sufficient or not applicable to modern times, because after all, times have changed. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall stand or remain forever. In modern Christianity, in parts of modern Christianity, or what calls itself Christianity, there is a reinterpreting and a reimagining of the Word that seeks to make it comfortable and that seeks to make it conform to the culture that surrounds us. The problem is that culture changes rapidly. Even in my short lifetime, and if you study history, you discover that culture changes all the time. And the pendulum swings from very conservative to very liberal, and right now we're on the very liberal side of the pendulum. But cultural mores change, and there are cultural swings that take place. Anybody seen Harvey Weinstein in the news lately? When I was young, things like that happened all the time, and nobody thought anything of it. It's just the way the world was. In certain sectors of society, it didn't make it right. But times have changed. Thankfully for that. Culture changes. The way the world looks at the world changes. But the claims of Scripture set it apart. And if we are to understand Scripture as it speaks to us, we understand that Scripture will be counter to culture. Because culture runs counter to Scripture. And when we approach the claims of Scripture, the first thing the Bible claims to be is it claims to be divinely inspired. It claims God is its author. Our text said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I was preaching this morning, and our series in Sunday mornings has been about being stretched by God. But the Scripture will stretch you. Because it's not only the parts of Scripture that bless me that are inspired. It's not only the parts that I can shout about. You know, God is on my side. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Scriptures that inspire us, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Verses that inspire us to understand that God answers prayer and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. But then there are the parts that are difficult, where Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery with her already. That's challenging. Or where he says, be holy even as I am holy. Or that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Are passages that challenge when Jesus would tell his disciples that I'm telling you, don't just love those who love you, but love those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. You see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not just my Scripture I put on a plaque and have on the wall that brings me inspiration and strength, but it's the parts of Scripture that challenge me as well, and the parts of Scripture that because of our cultural background we have a problem with and struggle with. He said all Scripture in its totality is given by God in the originals as the prophets wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 said, and this is New Living, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. if you want to be amazed at the book, begin to read the background of each one of the prophetic writers. And you discover they lived at different times in different cultures with different values in those cultures. And yet they harmonize with each other. The reason is here, verse 21, or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. And they spoke from God. To recognize that the Word is divinely inspired gives hope and strength. Because when we get pressured and when we're challenged in our culture, when I understand that this book is God's word to man, it gives me the fortitude, it gives me the strength to be able to say, I'm standing on this because God's word is above any other word. God's word speaks to us. God's word guides us. God's word is a source of strength within our lives. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, not only that, it's divinely inspired, but he said, it's wisdom to be saved. God's book shows us God's way to God's house. Jesus, when he spoke of heaven, said, the straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. He said, the few there be that find it. But it's God's book. It's God's word that shows us God's way to get to God's house. When we understand that, it's the word that shows us the love of God for us. It's the word that brings us face to face with the grace of God. I was thinking this week, I'd seen I never know how to pronounce it. A meme? Is that meme? A meme. It had Noah's Ark and it said that grace didn't save Noah, obedience did. The only thing is, that's not exactly right. And I begin to think about Noah. Before Noah ever obeyed God, before he ever built an ark, before he ever obeyed God to build an ark, God looked down and saw that the works of men were evil continually. And in his grace, he said, I'm going to make an exception. Because there's a guy named Noah. And I'm not going to take Noah out because, you see, even with judgment, there was grace. And it was the grace of God that caused God to speak to Noah to build the ark. And in every one of our lives, I know that we need to respond to the gospel of Jesus and that we respond to God's offer. But the Bible teaches us about God's amazing grace that when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That he reached out to us. God loves us. It's through the Word we discover our need of salvation. It's through the Word that we identify what we need to do. You see, I wouldn't know I need to repent if it wasn't for the Word. I certainly wouldn't know that I need to be baptized if it wasn't for the Word, and I wouldn't know it needed to be done in Jesus' name if it wasn't for the Word. I would never understand that God would baptize me with His Spirit if it wasn't for the Word. The Word has a work within our lives. But he goes on and says that the Word also shows us what is wrong and points to what's right in our lives. The King James talks about it's profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. And teaching is so important. Knowing what we believe and knowing what the Bible teaches is a framework for all of life that strengthens and gives hope. The Bible not only teaches us what to believe, it shows us our own lives like a mirror. It shows us the things that are wrong, and it shows us the things that are right. We're blessed when God shows us and the Word reaffirms in our lives what's right about our lives. We're challenged when the Word speaks to us whether it's through reading the Word, hearing the Word, the preached Word, but when the Word challenges my assumptions and the Word challenges my actions and my words and my attitude. You know, it's amazing how the Word and Spirit agree together, because the Spirit is the author of the Word, and the Word will never contradict the Spirit, and the Spirit will never contradict the Word. But it's amazing how you can be reading your Bible reading for the day and not thinking much about life except you're reading the Bible. And the passage that you read multiple times before, it just kind of, all of a sudden it's like it's in big red letters, even though you don't have a red letter Bible. And it just kind of jumps out at you, and you stop up and it's like, oh my. You see, the Word shows us what's right within our lives, but it also shows us what's wrong. But God doesn't show us what's wrong in our lives to condemn us. He shows us what's wrong in our lives and uses the Word to do it so that we can move past the wrong and live in the right. The work of the Word is to bring cleansing within our lives. James talks about the washing of water by the Word. It cleanses us. It speaks into our lives of better things. You know, Bible reading. Let me put a little plug in. It's been a while. But Bible reading, getting through the Scripture, reading it on a regular basis will challenge you, will speak to situations in your life. You know, we have this kind of thing we laugh about at home a little bit, because as a family, we do our Bible reading, or part of our Bible reading, we do the New Testament reading. When we have supper, we finish up, and nobody leaves the table until we do Bible reading. And we pass it around and take turns reading. And if we've had a discussion at the table, and those of you who are usually there, you know what I'm talking about. Inevitably, when we start to read the Word, almost the first verse that you will read will speak directly to what's going on. I don't know if you've ever had that experience in your home, but it happens in our home quite often. And can I get a witness about that? Yeah, I can get a witness here. It happens because, you see, the Word speaks to us. And now, you know, a while back we were talking about something and somebody said, I forget exactly how it went, but somebody said something about, you know, the Bible reading is probably going to get us tonight. God's Word speaks to us, not as ancient history, but God's Word speaks to us to show us what is right, to give us direction with what is right, but it also shows us what's wrong so that I can come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me because I want to be right with You. I want to be better than this. The work of the Word within our lives. You know, the ministry of preaching will inspire. I was thinking about this, and I was in a kind of a rhyming mood. And I thought, you know, preaching will cause you to be, it will, has the purpose to inspire or cause you to perspire. That's not a very good rhyme, but it's the best I could come up with. Because you see, there are some times that the Scripture inspires you, and you say, God, I can do anything. And then there are other times where the Scripture makes a little bead of sweat come on your forehead because you're like the guy, you know, that Lord, it's me. You're speaking to me about this, and I've got something. It's amazing to me, you know, when you let a little attitude get in your life and then you pick up the Bible and begin to read, and all of a sudden, you know, you got something against somebody, and you come to that part of the Bible that says if you got something against somebody, go to them and get over it and deal with it and move on and don't carry it. The Word speaks to us to shape us and to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. The work of the Word. As I was thinking about my subject for tonight, I thought there's so much. And I know you want to go home sometime. So let me just touch on a couple of other things. The Word of God awakens and strengthens faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter tells us that the word is like milk that feeds the soul. Hebrews tells us that the word is like meat that is strong within our lives. Ephesians 5:26, Paul said that the work of the word is to sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. David said in Psalm 119 that he needed guidance, and he said this, and if you don't have this one underlined, you need to have it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David was saying, when I don't know what direction life is taking me and I don't know where to go, I can turn to your word, and your word is like light in the darkness that speaks to me. And that is the work of the word. The word brings strength and security in the middle of the trials of life, that it speaks and it helps us to overcome. When we face temptation, the word works. Let me remind you that when Jesus was tempted, he didn't just call down fire from heaven to destroy the enemy, but he said, it is written. And he stood on the power of the word. David coordinated with that when he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, there's a work of the word within our lives if we'll open our hearts and if we'll make a conscious effort to get the word within our lives. I looked at the blessing of the word in Psalms 1. Some of you have this memorized. But what inspiring words. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we say, well, that's wonderful. It gives him guidance and direction. But look at this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to have stability within his life. He's going to have roots down that are going to hold him in the storms of life. But he goes on and says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because he takes a delight in the word. He allows the word to work within his life. And God said, when you let the word be your delight, and when you think about it and let it grow in your life, I will prosper you. The word works. There's victory over Satan and over sin. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit that works within our lives. The word will nourish your soul. It'll strengthen your bones. Psalm 119, verse 107, the psalmist said, I am afflicted very much, and quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. The word gives life. The word gives strength. The word soothes when you're discouraged. Look at Psalm 119, 147. I'm making it difficult for Kimoy because I didn't put all these on. I didn't think I would get to them all. Psalm 119, 147, he said, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help, and I put my hope in your words. I'm discouraged right now, but I've got something that I can hang on to. I've got the word. And my dear brothers and sisters, there are times when your emotions are going to destroy you. And there are times when everything you counted on is gone. But like the psalmist David, you can say, I cry out for help and I put my hope in your words. There is a work of the word in your life every day. The word works. The word gives peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 in the New Living said, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. The word fills you with hope. The psalmist said in verse 49 of Psalm 119, remember your word to your servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The word works in your life. Hallelujah. The word works. I close with one more passage. Because the word prepares and equips you to fulfill your purpose. I've met believers who base their relationship with God only on their experience. And I thank God for wonderful experiences with God. But there's got to be something deeper. There's got to be something that's steadfast and sure. And God uses His Word to prepare us, to equip us, to be able to fulfill our God-given purpose. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus was speaking to the people. And He said, "Whosoever cometh to Me and heareth My sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house, and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Jesus said, the person who hears My Word and does them, who allows My Word to speak and to work in their lives, who opens their heart instead of closing it, who opens their heart to say, "God, speak to me. Word of God, speak to me now. Move in my life." You see, when the high-flying service is gone, when the dance is done, when there's nobody singing and there's nobody around you, it's the Word that becomes a foundation that will keep you going in your faith and in your life. It's the Word that will keep you established. It's the Word that will work to bring hope and faith within your life. When everything around you is shaking, The Word points you to Jesus, and the Word reminds you of His love and His care for you. It's the ministry of the work of the Word within your life that changes you. So we stand together tonight. The work of the Word within our lives. There are some things in our relationship with God that we have to make decisions about. We have to make decisions about following Jesus or following our own way. We have to make decisions about my commitment to Him. But what I bring you to tonight is simply this: a commitment to value His Word. But a commitment that goes beyond simply valuing His Word. I think it was David that said that I valued Your Word, Your law, more than my necessary food. I bring us tonight to the place of not only valuing in theory, but I challenge you tonight to make the Word a part of your life in ways that it never has been before. I want to challenge you, if you have a struggle with reading the Word, get it on audio and listen to the Word. Take some time every day to get into the Word. I want to challenge you, whether if you're on a commute, instead of just listening to whatever's on the radio, get the Word in your heart. Because I've discovered that Christians that get the Word in their heart are way more stable. Christians that get the Word in their heart, and that means more than in their head, but get it where they live and they begin to apply it, I've discovered that they seem, you know, the winds come and the storms blow, and they just kind of keep motoring on through, and people are looking at them saying, "How are they doing that?" Because you see, their faith is built through the Word of God, and that Word brings the stability that we need. I want to challenge you, if you're reading the Word every other day, read it every day. If you're reading it once a week, or if you're only reading it at church, in what we read in sermons, I want to challenge you to make it a goal within your life. Let me, Lord, hunger for Your Word. Let Your Word work within my life tonight. Jesus, speak to me through it. Speak to me through it. And tonight, we're going to sing. But I want to invite all of us. We've got more room around the altar now than what we used to have. And I want to invite you to come and just stand here and make a commitment, a personal commitment to God that says, "God, I want to get into Your Word like I never have before. I want to read it. I want to think about it. I want to get it into my heart. I want to make it part of me like it's never been. Lord, speak to me." As we sing tonight, will you come and just stand with other brothers and sisters and just lift your hands and make that commitment to the Lord to say, Lord, I want to get your word in me like never before. I want it to speak to me like never before. God, I want to be open to your word working in me like I never have been.